On the matter of DOPCO versus Bergen County Improvement Authority et al., may we please have appearances of counsel?
Good morning, Your Honor. Mary Ann Grove, the law firm, here to give the opportunity on behalf of the petitioner for the Bergen County Improvement Authority.
Good morning, Your Honor. Leslie London, from Madison, Scotland, South, Metro County, Bergen.
Welcome, counsel. Ms. Grove.
May it please the court. As clear from the court's statement of issues on appeal, there are two issues before the court. One is a county improvement authority, and in particular the Bergen Improvement, the County Improvement Authority, which I'll shorthand as the BCIA, who has been designated as a redevelopment entity under the local redevelopment and housing law, obligated to comply with public bidding under the local public contracts law when it is selecting a redeveloper. And in this case, a redeveloper for the rehabilitation project of the historic Bergen County Justice Center. The second issue is whether a shareholder and officer of a redevelopment services company who prepares the company's response to a request for qualifications proposal and actively participates in the procurement process is barred from obtaining equitable relief from a court if the company is barred from doing so. As argued in the BCIA's petition, and as will be discussed now, the BCIA is not required to use public bidding to select a redeveloper, and Hossam Ibrahim should be barred from challenging the procurement process, just as DOPCO is. His status as a taxpayer does not give him super status to challenge the process. DOPCO, Inc. and one of its two shareholders, Ibrahim, brought this action to prevent the BCIA, who is a designated redevelopment entity, from engaging the services of a redeveloper for the rehabilitation project pursuant to the redevelopment law after Ibrahim submitted a proposal on behalf of DOPCO in November of 2020, where Ibrahim designated himself as the point person for DOPCO. Ibrahim participated in the interview process, and when DOPCO wasn't selected to proceed on the short list of redevelopers, DOPCO and Ibrahim filed separate three-count verified complaints wherein they allege that the BCIA was required to follow the local public contracts law in its efforts to secure the services of a redeveloper. And that's despite the fact that there is no provision in the redevelopment law nor case law that requires a redevelopment entity to secure the services of a redeveloper by public bidding. As to the applicability of the local public contracts law, since the BCIA was exercising powers as a redevelopment entity under the redevelopment law, we first look to the redevelopment law to determine if the local public contracts law applies. After all, the legislature's intent is the paramount goal, and you look to the language of the statute. Those are cases that are well known to this court, MasTec Renewables and D. Prospero versus Penn, to name two. As this court has noted, the legislature is presumed to know of prior legislative enactments when adopting new laws. And that's another case by this court, Northwest Bergen County Utility Authority versus Donovan. Thus, in 1992, when the legislature adopted the redevelopment law, it was presumed to know that it previously had expressly provided in other statutes that govern public entities that contracts thereunder are required to be secured in accordance with local public contracts law. Yet, in 1992, when the legislature enacted the redevelopment law, it purposely defined redevelopment entity, redevelopment agency, and housing authority, and identified the powers of each. The legislature only made the powers of a redevelopment agency and a housing authority subject to the local public contracts law, and that's section 12A-23. It did not so stipulate when establishing the powers of a redevelopment entity in NJSA 40A:12A-8. Notwithstanding, The appellate division in this case rewrote the redevelopment law to stipulate that a redevelopment entity's power to contract is subject to the local public contracts law. It's well-settled law that a court, even this court, cannot insert language into a statute that the legislature could have included but did not. That's Jersey Central Power and Light Company versus Mel Carr Utility. Furthermore, as this court has previously held, statutes must be read in their entirety, with each section being read relative to each other section for a harmonious whole, and that's Bedford versus Riello. So based on the holding in Bedford, the appellate division had to recognize that a redevelopment entity was defined in one way, redevelopment agency and housing authorities were defined in other ways, and the powers of those entities were specifically defined, with the powers of the agency and the housing authority subject to the local public contracts law. The appellate division ultimately conceded that there was no language that required the redevelopment entity within the redevelopment housing law to comply with the local public contracts law, but felt that it must have been meant to apply because that a redevelopment agency and a housing authority were required to comply. So it felt like, why not? That is exactly the reason why it should not, the redevelopment is not bound to comply with the local public contracts law. It's not expressly provided as it is for the other entities. The appellate division, sorry.
You've been drawing a distinction between agency and entity.
Yes.
And I hope you can clarify something. If a redevelopment agency can manage a project itself, a redevelopment project, or it can designate an entity to do that, correct? If the agency manages the project itself, is it subject to the LHRL, the local redevelopment and housing law?
Well, Your Honor, I believe
Section 23?
I believe in Section 22 there is a caveat that if the other entities are operating as a redevelopment entity, they proceed under the powers of the redevelopment entity. So
which part of 22 are you referring to?
I don't have it in front of my, Your Honor. My colleague, Ms. London, was prepared to address those specific arguments. I don't mean to.
And perhaps she can help us clear up, but your position is that the agency itself, if it's managing the project, is not bound by the LRHL.
No, Your Honor, it is bound by the LRHL. If it's acting as a redevelopment entity, it's not bound by the LPCL.
I misspoke. I was
yes.
Looking to Section 23 of the LRHL.
Yes.
Which subjects it to the local public contracts law. But, and tell me if you'd prefer to leave this argument for your colleague, the entity, however, would not be subject to it, you've argued. What's the rationale for
this? Well, Your Honor, within the language of 23, it says that it shall be subject to, except as specifically provided in this act. So
yeah.
To the extent there's another provision that allows, that says it would operate as a redevelopment entity.
And that's where you want us to talk to your colleague as to the...
I apologize, Your Honor.
That's all right. So we'll save the question.
We didn't want to be redundant where everybody, we were covering both all the same things.
No problem.
Well, okay.
Can I...
Yes, Your Honor.
Take you through a couple statutes and have you explain them to me and why they don't apply.
Okay.
And this is what I think is the simplest argument that your adversary is making. So I'm looking at 12A4C, okay, of the local redevelopment law. A county improvement authority authorized to undertake redevelopment projects pursuant to the county improvement authority's law may also act as a redevelopment entity pursuant to this act. Now, I'm concentrating for the moment, and I'm going to give you a chance to explain. So it's the county improvement authority, okay, authorized act pursuant to the county improvement authority's law. Okay, that takes me back. I'm going to give you a chance to explain. I just want to the County Improvement Authorities Law, where I'm now looking at 5537. Contracts law, which then if that takes me back to the local contracts law, there is no exemption over here to the public bidding requirement. So why isn't that a persuasive statutory argument that the Bergen County Improvement Authority is subject to the local public contract law and therefore bidding? Right from the LRHL. LRHL says, look at the County Improvement Authority Act. The County Improvement Authority Act says that the local public contract law applies, and there's no exemption.
Your Honor, thank you for the question. I would disagree that the that section of the local the redevelopment law mandates compliance with the County Improvement Authorities law. It says a county improvement authority can be designated a redevelopment outside of the county improvement authority law. And
no,
in this case,
pursuant, I have in front of me. So this, let's get the language right. Pursuant to the county improvement authorities law, not outside of, pursuant to the county improvement authorities law. That's what it says.
And then it continues on. And in accordance
yeah,
with this.
And then it has some statute. It may also act as a redevelopment entity pursuant to this act. Apparently the local housing redevelopment law.
Well, I read that differently for this reason, because the county improvement authority's law is referenced because that's how a county improvement authority comes into existence. I believe, and if you go into the express legislative intent of the redevelopment law, they say that it was adopted to, quote, codify, simplify, and concentrate prior enactments relative to local redevelopment housing to the end that the legal mechanisms for such improvement may be more efficiently employed.
Generalized language. But what I also quoted to you, and I left out, and I apologize, is when it referred to the County Improvement Authorities Law, the parentheses was 37A-44 et sec, so embracing the entire county improvement authorities law.
Your Honor, again, I don't believe that a county improvement authority is required, that they can be appointed as a redevelopment agency under the redevelopment law. Their existence counts on the county improvement authorities law as incorporated in that definition. However,
are you saying that if the county improvement authority takes on the role of a redevelopment agency
entity, Your Honor.
Entity, I'm sorry. That's I know I was going to get that wrong, and I did. Entity, it then shifts to the redevelopment statute?
Yes, Your Honor. And in fact, when it was appointed the redevelopment entity by the city of Hackensack, it was expressly provided to have the powers under the redevelopment law. And that it's acting pursuant to that resolution of appointment and pursuant to the authority under the resolution saying we are asking and appointing the BCIA to act as the redevelopment agency for the rehabilitation of the courthouse project and under with all the powers under the law. Now, granted, a resolution can't confer powers that, you know, that are beyond the scope of what's legal. I do believe, though, that that definition that Justice Albin cited was not meant to constrain the redevelopment, the county improvement authority to have to comply with the county improvement law when it's acting as a redeveloper under the redevelopment law.
Is there an ambiguity when you look at the statutes together? Two, you have two different statutes with different purposes governing the same entity. Which is both a governmental improvement authority and also a redevelopment entity, right? And you have arguably inconsistent provisions in those two statutes.
Your Honor, but for the fact that the legislature made it clear that they were trying to put all the body of law as to the powers of a redevelopment entity in a single law. So there wasn't all this, I have to open up this statute book and figure out what's allowed here, because prior to this, a county improvement authority was allowed to do redevelopment.
Please go ahead.
When you look at the local public contracts law, it has numerous exemptions. And then apparently, if you're not in one of the exemptions, it applies to government authorities, requiring them to bid out.
Well, Your Honor, actually.
And when I was looking at it, I was looking to see under that law, there was any exemption for public agencies or entities acting as redevelopment entities or agencies. Like, I'm looking for the exemption, not finding any.
Well, Your Honor, the local public contract law actually provides in 11-4A about every contract over the bid threshold for procurement of goods and services must be advertised the lowest responsible bidder after public advertising, except as provided otherwise in this act. And in the act, there are exceptions for professional services, there's competitive contracting, there's now design build, which was an amendment to the local public contracts law last April, or specifically by any other law. And the redevelopment law, section 12A-8, has been held by the courts to mean that a redevelopment entity can enter into a contract with a redeveloper that can be negotiated and not subject to public bidding
Where does it say that in 8? Point out the language to me.
It doesn't. Well, Your Honor, so the language is that it's not in there, and the courts have construed it routinely since 1992. There's never been a case prior to the appellate division's decision in this matter saying that a redevelopment entity and exercising powers under that paragraph must comply with the local public contracts law. That court below was the first time that's been held.
Has this court ever spoken to that subject?
No, Your Honor. And that's why we're here.
That's right.
Yes.
One of the reasons.
Yes. So just if I might, again, and just to the extent the court.
So forget about those cases.
Okay.
But you started out by talking about statutory interpretation. So show us where in 8 you find the language that exempts the redevelopment process from the local public contract law.
Okay. Under paragraph F, it says arrange or contract. This is, and the preface is, a public entity, a redevelopment entity has the following powers. This section is powers of a municipality or redevelopment entity to carry out redevelopment plans. That's the title of this, 12A-8. Paragraph F, arrange or contract with public agencies or redevelopers for the planning, replanning, construction, or undertaking of any project or redevelopment work or any part thereof.
Okay, so stop right there, okay? Good, because we have the paragraph. Now look at the next paragraph, G.
I know that exists, Your Honor, that it talks about.
Because G specifically talks about the circumstance where bidding is not required, and it limits it to, except as with regard to property subject to, and it's a statute, lease or convey property or improvements to any other party pursuant to this section. This is just the leasing or conveying property without public bidding.
Your Honor, I'm aware.
Go ahead.
No, I'm aware of that. Without public bidding and pursuant to the local public contracts law are not exactly the same thing. I argue to Your Honors that where the legislature has wanted action and contracts to be required to comply with local public contracts law, they have written it into the statute.
Look at this statute, 8, and look at two separate paragraphs. Look at F. And look at G. The legislature knew when it wanted to exempt bidding. In G, it puts in the language, without public bidding, lease or convey property or improvements.
But that
again, do it. And it The language, why isn't that language in F if that's what the legislature intended?
I think it's a poorly drafted piece of legislation, but it is written as it's written, and they and the law is that they're intended to know what they've done in the past. What they've done in the past is require it as to contracts, for instance, with the County Improvement Authority. And as to that point, even if that is determined to be applicable, what I would or tell you is that in that definition, it says when it's carrying out purposes or let me give the exact language. It's necessary, convenient, or desirable for the purposes of the authority or to carry out any power expressly given in the County Improvement Authority's law. So that the county, the BCIA was not acting under the County Improvement Authority's law, it was acting under the redevelopment law. So I would say that this provision in the County Improvement Authority's law was never triggered because we were not acting under the County Improvement Authority's law. I think that the way it's written right now.
The County Improvement Authority's law has a complete provision that talks about its authority to engage as a redeveloper. Correct?
You're right, Your Honor. But that's not what how the BCIA does not have its powers. It's not wearing that cape when it's doing this project. It's wearing the cape that was given to it for under the redevelopment law. It's not acting under the County Improvement Authority law. It's acting under the redevelopment law. And the redevelopment law was designed because they realized there was law all over regarding what entities could and couldn't do. And this legislature said, we want to put it all in one place. We're putting it all in this one place. So you don't look to the County Improvements Authority law. So I think that as written, this court would have to insert language like the appellate division did, or the legislature, if we have it all wrong, they can fix it. They never have, in all these years, gone back to try to say that that's the case. There is case law out there that allows, and it's been the practice since 1992, where redevelopment agreements are negotiated without public bidding. And as to that process, it's not like it's being done to, like, you know, money's changing hands. This is very analogous. The process that was followed in this case is very analogous. And in fact, it's authorized now by the design build specs, the amendments that were made to the local public contracts law. They did an RFQ. This is a historic project. There's design build aspects. Dobco's own proposal recognizes that. They've identified people. This is stuff that you couldn't just narrow down in a bid specification saying, we're going to do this, because it's kind of like it's a development process. That's a bad word.
Are you saying that if the design build amendment had been in effect at the time of this process, that would have clearly given the improvement authority the ability to do what it did without public bidding?
Virtually, yes, Your Honor, and I say it like that because the regulations haven't been adopted, but there's certain, like, dots. You have to dot your I's and cross your T's. But the process itself is blessed now. It's completely, so it's not as nefarious as it's being painted out to be. And, in fact, the way it works was there was
Let me just clarify. Sorry. When you say the process itself, you're talking about without bidding, a redevelopment entity is selected.
Yes.
Through a different process than public bidding. And currently, under current law, that's within design build. So that is all okay with the legislature.
Yes. So unfortunately, the import of this decision is going to be minimal as that respect, because now anybody who's doing a project could use those provisions of the local public contracts law. But point of fact is, when this project proceeded, there was ample authority for the BCIA to proceed in the manner that it did.
You have a citation for what you're talking about as a recent amendment, the design build aspect of the LCPL?
Yes, Your Honor. It was in our response to the merits brief of the amicus. Let me just have it for you. It is Public Law 2021, Chapter 71, and they were amendments to 40A:11-53.
Can you slow down? Give it.
Sorry, I apologize.
Okay, 40.
So 40A:11-53 through 60. And those are new, wholly, entirely new provisions that are tacked on at the end of the exam.
They're LCPL provisions that say we're now exempting design build I'm sure it says it much more elegantly than I'm saying, but we're now exempting a design-build project, for lack of, I know I'm stating this informally, from the public bidding requirements of the LCPL.
Yes, Your Honor. And that's not limited that's not specific to redevelopment projects. That applies to, and also I believe it may apply to school buildings and by virtue of another parallel provision, but.
But does it encompass all redevelopment projects?
It would if you could do it that way, but again, then if it's not a redevelopment project, you could go under that. If it's a redevelopment project, you could go under the redevelopment law or under the local public contracts law. Even in this case, 2 years ago, the county could have chosen to do it different ways, but it believed.
So just so we understand, how does a project like this fit within these amendments that you're now saying will result in no longer any issues for what the BCIA and other county improvement authorities are doing? How specifically does this project fit within those amendments that you're saying exempts it from?
Well, it wouldn't retroactively make it they'd have to go forward based on whatever the regulations are, and my understanding is that within weeks, the DCIA is responsible for promulgating regulations. They sent out drafts, they received comments, and they're about to issue them shortly.
What would be the impact for this case?
For this case, if Your Honors were to uphold the decision by the Appellate Division and find that the BCIA was required to comply with the local public contracts law because the redevelopment law mandates it, then the BCIA, we're not asking for the U.S. Supreme Court to take an appeal, so we're going to then, it would be then that they would go out and start the process over again. Essentially, a lot of the same documents are going to be used. My understanding from my client is that there are some differences and nuances, but it's very similar, as I was trying to say. We put an advertisement in the newspaper. 9 companies responded. 9 reputable companies responded. They participated in the interview process. They acknowledged that this was not your cookie cutter building project. Historic elements, design build elements. So that's in practical effect.
The design build language in front of you?
I don't have the entire statute, Your Honor. My colleague may.
I don't want the entire statute read, just the part.
No.
But it's design build. So,
but it's basically called a design build statute, and I know I have it somewhere. I can always come up on rebuttal if Ms. London is not prepared.
I'm assuming there's a definition for design build in the statute.
I believe so, yes, Your Honor. It has to do with over a certain dollar threshold. I think it's maybe a $5 million project. I don't remember exactly. But it's basically, this is what you do. And again, the concept of the local public contracts law, we get it. You know, you want to have the best price for the taxpayers. You don't want to have any collusion. I mean, the process that was employed in this case was designed as nearly as compatible with the local public contracts law without the ability to evaluate the qualifications of the bidder. There was a phase, they were ranked based on their submissions, written submissions, interviews, and 4 made the cut out of 9. Dobco, I think, was 5th on the list, maybe 6th, I'm not sure. They didn't make the list. No one else, they complained, and after they participated, the other bidders were in the process, I believe, of submitting the second phase, which were the sealed bids for the cost element. And that's when everything came to a grinding halt because of the action in the trial court.
Coming back to the new statute that you have referenced, your supplemental brief, you argue that the very same process was utilized by the BCIA in this case. So in addition to the definitional section, if you could point us to that language that explains the newness, and perhaps Ms. London can do so.
Yes, I mean, and we brought that up just for sake of the argument was by the amicus that this is such an atrocious process. This process would never be countenanced. This is not allowed in the industry. This violates every type of principle about fair dealing, and we brought it up for the proposition. We still don't believe we have to comply with the LPCL, but just in case, you should know that the legislature has added provisions to allow for this design build model, so to speak. Again, if you want, I can't reach for it right now and cite the language, but it is there, okay? I just, Mr. Triff had submitted to the court in a connection in response to our submission where we mentioned this design build, brought out that there's a bill pending by Senator Paul Sarlo to amend the County Improvement Authority's law, the definitional section about when you have to have a contract to expressly exclude redevelopment activities.
We rely on a statute that is not.
No, thank you, Your Honor. I won't give it. I was going to quote Justice Albin's opinion in Deeper Sparrow that say you don't rely on sponsor statements. They have their evidential.
Justice Albin's fine with that.
Yes. But I was going to say it's a statement, point of view of one member of the Senate, and it's just been introduced. It's in committee.
Right. It's a pending bill. It's not law.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then I won't.
We said that even with respect to an enacted law.
Yes. Yes. And I was going to raise that point. So, again, I won't belabor the point. I'll touch on. Again, and the court, so this is one other thing on the redevelopment law. I know you've pointed out this court has not ruled on the issue, and hence why we're here. The appellate division decisions pointed to by this, the appellate division decision in this case, suggests that the courts have allowed redevelopment agreements outside the local public contracts law because they involved private funding. That's not anywhere in any of those decisions. There's no express rationale for that, and I don't think the appellate division properly distinguished the existing law based on those facts, because we don't know those to actually be the facts.
If this court were to come to the conclusion that these statutes are not entirely reconciled and they're not interlocking like perfect puzzle pieces together, what extrinsic evidence is there that the court could look at that supports your position?
I would say the one thing is, the most important thing I would say is that in 1975 or 77, when the legislature realized there was some confusion as to what contracts had to be subject to the LPCL, they amended, let me just get the year. Anyway, they amended 12 different statutes to expressly state subject to the local public contracts law. 12 different statutes prior to 1992. Here we are in 1992, and they draft the redevelopment law. Subject to the local public contracts law. And that's in a provision that is specifically only as to housing authorities and redevelopment agencies. They nowhere else did they say in the redevelopment.
Can I just walk you through that a little bit more slowly so I make sure I understand? You're saying that prior to the redevelopment law, 12 statutes were amended to specifically say that the activities described therein are within the LCPL, and you're saying that when the redevelopment law was passed, that type of provision was only put into an aspect of the redevelopment law that is not, just doesn't cover your situation.
Exactly, Your Honor. Thank you. And I just found it. It was in 1975, and it was 12 amendments to Title 40, which, as you know, governs public entities.
So 1975 was also the year that the County Improvement Authority Act added T.
Yes, that's exactly one of the
which
things.
Which said that county improvement authorities are subject to the local public contracts law. And the legislative history there said, this is us clarifying. As far as we were concerned, they were always subject to the local public contracts law, but in case anyone doubted it, we're putting that in the statute now.
I don't disagree with you, Your Honor. That is exactly right. That was one of the 12. However, by its terms, it's only when the County Improvement Authority is acting under the County Improvement Authority law. That's not what the BCI is acting under. It's acting under the redevelopment law.
Okay. I mean, you can say that, but when the local housing redevelopment law, the part that I quoted, says pursuant to the County Improvement Authority Act. It refers back to it.
Your Honor, I'm going to take a look at that when I sit down. I'm not familiar. Just and I won't detain you much longer. I just want to spend 2 minutes on the issue of the estoppel arguments. The appellate division correctly found that DABCO was estopped from obtaining relief because it had willfully participated in the process that it now complains about. And the appellate division relied on this court's case in Auto Tote Limited versus New Jersey Supports and Exposition Authority. The logic being that you can't take advantage of a contract to be awarded in an illegal process and then only complain about it, and then complain about when you're unsuccessful in getting the contract. And there's a wealth of law on that. So the appellate division seemingly tried to draw a distinction, saying that, well, this isn't like, Ibrahim is not a straw man. He's not trying to assert the claims of the company. He's a taxpayer. But you can't ignore his actions as a principal of the company. He's not a straw man, he's the man. He's the guy.
He signed the complaint, too.
He's the one who signed all the proposal documents. He was knee-deep in this. Knee-deep in this. So he's not some taxpayer who's trying to advocate their own rights, like in Yacinda, where I believe it was also a taxpayer and a patron of the restaurants that were the subject of the bidding. It's not like Camden Plaza parking, and it's not like Communication Workers of America case.
Your argument is that he is inseparable from DABCO.
Absolutely.
And it would be a charade to suggest otherwise.
Exactly. I can't say it any better than that. I'll take any other questions Your Honors have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. London.
I guess it's this afternoon, Your Honors, and may it please the court. I will start with the new law. It has been codified at NJSA 40A:11-53. It is now part of the local public contracts law. As my colleague mentioned, the regulations are set to be promulgated within probably the next month or so. There is a definition provided in the statute for design-build contract. It means a contract between a contracting unit and a design builder to provide labor, materials, and other construction services for a public contract. A design-build contract may be conditioned upon subsequent refinements in scope and price, and may permit the contracting unit to make changes in the scope of the project without invalidating the design-build contract. So that's the definition that has been given. The design-build is very common practice. It's in the School Development Act. School contracts for years have been constructed through a design-build process. There are specific regulations that permit the design-build, and those regulations were the basis of the regulations that are now to be promulgated. So it's not a nefarious process. It is a process the BCIA chose in its discretion that it's given to it as a redevelopment entity to utilize the design-build process. It didn't pick a designer, a contractor out of a hat. It went through a very detailed process. And the process, we have to take a step back. We're dealing with a redevelopment area. This is not a standalone contract somewhere in a municipality. A redevelopment area has to go through a very detailed process under the Redevelopment Act in order to be given that designation. Public hearings have to be held, studies have to be undertaken, and then various actions have to be taken by the various municipal bodies involved in order to make that designation. When you have a project under the redevelopment law, it takes on a different meaning because your attempt is to correct areas of blight and neglect, and you're given different powers. Actually, you're given somewhat superpowers that you would not necessarily have under the local public contracts law. And I think this is where the appellate division went askew, in a sense, because it didn't give due context to the project as being within the redevelopment law. It's a redevelopment project. It's not a standalone contract. It's part of an entire redevelopment plan for that area to make it out of blight and being a neglected area. And you have to look at it in that context. Truly, this is a case of statutory construction. And you have to look at all of the different pieces, parse the words, and it's a little difficult. we're referring to Section 4C. Let's start there, where a county improvement authority may be designated by the municipality as a redevelopment entity pursuant to the ability given under the County Improvement Authority's law to do redevelopment. However, the words that were not added and must be given deference is that when the County Improvement Authority is acting as a redevelopment entity under the redevelopment law, it is acting pursuant to the redevelopment law. And in acting under that law, it gives to that County Improvement Authority enhanced powers that it does not necessarily have under the County Improvement Authority law. The fact that Section F that was referred to regarding the powers given to a county to a designated redevelopment entity to arrange or contract with public agencies or developers for construction of redevelopment projects or any part thereof. It does not state in there that those contracts have to be subject to the local public contracts law. We can't read that in there. If the legislature meant that, it would have put it in. The fact that it does mention it in G is not dispositive because it's silent, and the silent has been read. If you can't read something in if it doesn't exist, essentially. And I think there's support why redevelopment entities are handled differently than a redevelopment agency and a housing authority. The appellate division relied on Section 23 of the redevelopment law, where it says that a redevelopment agency and a housing authority are subject to the local public contracts law, except as otherwise provided in this law.
Is there a distinction between redevelopment agency and entity?
Yes, there is, Your Honor. And it's actually defined differently. There are two separate definitions that are given in the redevelopment law because they're not necessarily the same.
My question was, I'm sorry, in terms of the obligation of either or both to abide by the local public contracts law, is there a distinction between the two?
Yes, I think there is, Your Honor. I think a logical reading has to be that when the agency and the redevelopment agency and the housing authority are acting with goods and services, it is subject to the local public contracts law. I believe under the redevelopment law, a distinction was made when you have a redevelopment agreement, which is a separate definition. And redevelopment agreement has to include various things that would not necessarily be in a construction contract. And there is a distinction between a redevelopment agreement and a straight construction contract.
So what's the rationale between subjecting goods and services to the local public contracts law, but not a traditional construction contract?
The redevelopment agreement has to include various things that are very specific under the redevelopment law. And it involves negotiation with a potential redeveloper. And it has a bigger goal assigned to it. There's a redevelopment plan that the redevelopment agreement has to be in line with. It has to be in line with the master plan. And there are other components that are not typical of a straight standalone construction contract. There's a differentiation in that respect.
Can I ask you a question about 12A23?
Yes.
I was pondering, like, why did the legislature in 23 pick out redevelopment agency and authority to say that they are going to be subject to the local public contracts, except provided to this act to the provisions of local public contracts law? And tell me if I'm mistaken, redevelopment agency and housing authority are created within the local redevelopment act. They don't exist outside of it, unlike all these other public entities. So the legislature had to put them in there in order to say, you're subject to this, because there's nowhere else where they exist. Am I right about that?
That is right.
That, your adversary can make an argument. Therefore, the presumption was everyone else was already subject to the local public contracts law. The legislature here had to put them in because they didn't exist otherwise. Why isn't that argument a sound one?
Well, Your Honor, one thing I'd like to point out in that regard is that redevelopment agreements entered into under the redevelopment law have been viewed differently by the legislature. And a key support for that is if you look at the State Comptroller's Act, which requires contracts to be submitted, or the procurement process to be submitted to it prior to moving forward with the procurement, those contracts have to be approved, reviewed, and approved prior to their being used. Specifically in that statute, there are several exemptions from the Office of State Comptroller Review. And one is a redevelopment agreement entered into pursuant to the redevelopment law.
But if the legislature wanted to exempt redevelopment because it is its own unique process and has certain requirements that might not be achieved if there's public bidding, it had a really simple solution to that, didn't it? It would just exempt it from the LCPL, all redevelopment activity.
Well, our position is that it is excluded by virtue of the fact that the local public contracts law under Section 4 does state that if the contract is specifically exempt under Section 5 or as otherwise provided by other law, it is not subject to the local public contracts law.
But it is not exempting the redevelopment agency or the housing authority when they participate in redevelopment, right? You're not here arguing that the legislature wants to exempt all redevelopment activities from the LCPL because it specifically put the redevelopment agency and the housing authority when they're conducting redevelopment under the LCPL.
The distinction is when you're acting as a redevelopment entity looking to engage and implement the plan. When you are looking to contract for the development of a redevelopment project, it is handled differently. You're given a certain set of powers. Certain things have to be in that agreement. And it's handled differently than a redevelopment agency buying paper. A redevelopment agency.
If that's the case, you have to explain this to me. If the whole redevelopment law is not subject to local public contracts law, why did the legislature, in 12A8G, specifically provide when bidding isn't required? They specifically say that.
Yeah, our position.
Like, why would they need to say that if the whole act isn't subject to the local public contracts law?
We're saying the entire act, what we're saying is a redevelopment agency and a housing authority are subject to the local public contracts law, except in those cases where either is acting as a redevelopment entity, or in this case, the County Improvement Authority is acting as the redevelopment entity. That is why in 23, redevelopment entity is not listed.
I'm looking at 8, and 8 deals with everything. They talk about the municipality, redevelopment entity, designated by the government body, goes on.
Right, and that's and property.
Excuse me?
Are you referring to 8G?
Yeah.
And that refers to when you're leasing property.
Yeah, and they say you can do that without public bidding.
We're not talking about leasing the property.
I understand that, but the point I'm trying to make is when the legislature wanted to instruct us when public bidding is not required, it says it. And it says it there, and it doesn't, for instance, say it in the previous paragraph.
However, it does say it in 23 that our agency and a housing authority are subject to the local public contracts
because,
law.
Because they were created in that act. They don't appear, they don't exist outside of the act, like a municipality or a county or county improvement authority. They have separate statutes. They exist elsewhere.
And our position is the legislature, just as it said there, could have easily said under arrange or contract with public agencies or redevelopers for construction pursuant to the local public contracts law, and it did not say so.
Can I ask you a question about part of your argument, but I want to make sure that I understand it. You note that there's the County Improvement Authority statute separately, and that the Improvement Authority is a creature of that statute. Am I right about that?
That is correct.
It would not exist, it wouldn't have any authority at all if it weren't for that statute.
Correct.
And am I right that the County Improvement Authority's law does put County Improvement Authorities created under its authority in general under the LCPL?
When it is acting under the County Improvement Authority's law.
Right, okay. So when you have a statute that has created an entity and gives it its being, gives it the authority to exist and to do things, and then you have a later statute, like the redevelopment law, that provides for specific activities that the County Improvement Authority can enter into, why isn't it accurate to say that the County Improvement Authority is acting under both statutes? You see what I mean? It wouldn't exist. It wouldn't have its composition. It wouldn't have any. It wouldn't do anything if it weren't for the original County Improvement Authority's law. And in this case, it's acting as a redevelopment entity for purposes of a project.
Why that way under the redevelopment law?
But is that? Let me ask it a different way. Is that to the exclusion of what it of the County Improvement Authority's law, which gives it its very being?
Now, I agree with you, Your Honor. It starts there, and in the situation where County Improvement Authority takes on a different role and is designated under a redevelopment agreement, or excuse me, under a redevelopment plan to act as the designated redevelopment entity, it takes on a different stature in the sense that now I am not just a County Improvement Authority operating under the County Improvement Authority law. I am now moving over here
You said not just, and I think you're agreeing with me that that entity, not you, but your colleague's client, the Improvement Authority, is acting under both statutes. You see, and let me just tell you why I'm concerned about this, is that it seems like part of the matrix of your argument requires us to say that if the legislature says all of this particular type of governmental entity are under public bidding, under the LCPL, and then provides a specific project under which they're exercising additional powers, redevelopment, they can now ignore the LCPL, that could have very broad ramifications in other settings. I can't quite think of exactly what that might be, But you see what I mean? The original statute under the LCPL, always have to undertake public bidding, somehow goes away because you're under a redevelopment project this time.
And, Your Honor, that's correct, because the legislature looked at redevelopment law and the projects they're under very differently. The goal and the policy was to aid and help municipalities deal with blighted areas and to give flexibility, and that phrase at 8N that says to do anything and everything necessary to effectuate the act. The goal, the legislative goal, was to enhance and give powers under the redevelopment law that do not necessarily exist anywhere else because of the legislative intent to help these blighted areas.
Except we're seeing over here, the legislature is saying redevelopment agency and housing authority are under LCPL, even when they're doing redevelopment, and the local, the county improvement authority doesn't exist without its original statute, and that says, hey, county improvement authorities, you're under the LCPL, that somehow the legislature has decided that when county improvement authorities are doing redevelopment, they don't have to do public bidding, but they haven't said that to us at all.
It goes back again to the local redevelopment housing law. When you are acting as a redevelopment entity, if the county improvement authority is not a designated redevelopment entity, it does not enjoy the powers specifically given under the redevelopment law.
But if the county improvement authority hires a third party to be the redevelopment entity, which sometimes happens, sometimes the county improvement authority itself, probably typically, wants to be in control of the project, so they designate themselves as the entity, which I think your colleague was saying, that's the design build model, correct? I think?
No, the only entity that can designate the redevelopment entity is the municipality.
Okay. So, but whatever project they do, they're going to do using the facility of the County Improvement Authority, whatever project, correct?
Who? I'm sorry.
The municipality, in order to do the project.
Wants to designate the County Improvement Authority, you're saying?
As the
redevelopment entity.
Can do that, but you're saying that when is the County Improvement Authority ever a redevelopment authority?
It's never a redevelopment authority.
Okay. So essentially the municipality only brings them into the project as the redevelopment entity.
That's the only way that a County Improvement Authority can act as the under the redevelopment law.
Is that what your colleague was calling the design build, where they kind of do it? It's a soup to nuts. It's not just goods and services. It's everything. It's the
design. No, the design build is just a form of procurement.
Right.
Our position is that the County Improvement Authority didn't have to follow any particular form of procurement, but chose to do a design build type of procurement, which now is law.
So whenever there is, you just corrected me on something very important in my mind. So whenever there is a redevelopment project and the municipality is looking for an entity to do that, if they go to the County Improvement Authority, they're an entity under the redevelopment law and not subject to the public bidding requirement.
If they are acting as a redevelopment entity, yes.
That's what I just said. Okay. So, but is there anything else they could do on the behalf of the municipality? And I think what you said, in every case where the municipality is doing a redevelopment project, they will hire a redevelopment entity.
Not necessarily.
They will not. But they could.
Municipality has the ability to act on its own as the redevelopment entity.
Or to bring in a third party.
Or bring in an agency or to use a housing authority.
But the only way a county improvement authority in a redevelopment project is under the redevelopment law is going to act is as a redevelopment entity, correct?
As long as they are designated as such.
By the municipality.
By the municipality.
And under those circumstances, your argument is they're not subject to local public contract law.
When entering into a redevelopment agreement for a redevelopment project that is part of a redevelopment plan.
You've given us, read to us, the broad language, the purpose of the redevelopment law to rid the state of blighted areas. My question to you is this. Why is that statute, when it involves the expenditure of public funds on a project, inconsistent with public bidding, the local public contracts law? That's why I'm trying to wrap my head around that. Yeah, redevelopment is really important. Why is it the enemy of the local public contracts law?
It isn't the enemy of the local public contracts law, because under the local public contracts law, not all contracts where public monies are being expended are subject to competitive bid. There are the exceptions. There are other statutes that allow a public entity to enter into negotiations. I think it's the Water Supply Act.
One of the exceptions is not the local, the LRHL.
It is, Your Honor, in the sense that the local public contracts law did not list every other law that may exempt a public contract. It said, as or otherwise provided in another law. And there are other laws. One in particular, and I think I mentioned it in my brief, it's the New Jersey Water Supply Act, wherein a public entity can negotiate a contract, a construction contract for the building of a facility. That is an exception. Public monies are being spent, but they can negotiate rather than do a competitive bid. And also, as I just mentioned, the State Comptroller's Office specifically exempts redevelopment agreements under the redevelopment law from having to go to the Office of the State Comptroller for review.
Here, I was doing that argument to me, if the entire redevelopment law were exempt from public bidding and the LCPL, then I would. It isn't. That's what I'm saying. And when you're saying it's exempted from the controller process.
Only when there's a redevelopment agreement. It's not when you're buying widgets, when you're doing other things. When you are entering into a redevelopment agreement under the redevelopment law, the state comptroller statute says that that redevelopment agreement is exempt. You don't have to come to us for that. Whereas if I'm building a standalone construction building, I'm constructing a building as a municipality, I have to go to the comptroller's office. However, because it's in a redevelopment area subject to the redevelopment law, the legislature determined that those particular redevelopment agreements are not subject to the comptroller's office.
Can I ask you a very simple question? And that is, do you interpret this to mean the legislature was concerned that the challenges of redevelopment were so daunting in these projects that it should take public bidding out of the mix as an incentive for developers to get involved?
Yes, Your Honor, when it is involving a redevelopment agreement. I'm not saying in general to buy equipment, to do other things. However, when you have...
But is that what this is about?
I mean, yes, you're saying this is a very specific, narrow situation.
This is to incentivize...
Incentivize
developers to get involved.
Get involved and to clean up and correct blighted areas. The legislature saw this as being an area where there should be a differentiation made between building a standalone contract, building a building, versus an intricate part of a redevelopment plan, part of a master plan, dealing with a project.
There are all sorts of different redevelopment projects, because this may be a peculiar one, because many of the redevelopment projects go to non-public entities. They are designated to do the work. This one just happens to be a case where public funds are being.
Right, and the legislature did not differentiate between a private developer and a public developer. But, even though the appellate division read that into it, there is no distinction in any of the language of the redevelopment law that makes that distinction.
Except that the local public contracts law is really concerned about the expenditure of public funds. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree, and the redevelopment law has specific provisions in it allowing the bonding and the expenditure of public funds.
With respect to the design-build contract, this is, I think, my last question. If that statute were on the books at the time that this whole matter arose,
we wouldn't be here. And the reason why we wouldn't be here is that the County Improvement Authority has discretion which procurement process, if any, it will decide to use. The County Improvement Authority is a contracting unit under the local public contracts law. And because if the local public contracts law back then read that you can also do design build, it's already authorized if they decided to operate under the local public contracts law.
You're telling us this, the argument we're having from your perspective, may be a very academic one, given this new law?
Yes, Your Honor, because assume we have to go back out again, that the process is upheld as not being valid under the local public contracts law. Now it is. So the County Improvement Authority could opt, if it decides to do so, under the local public contracts law and to do design build.
Ms. Bowe has already told us that's what will happen.
Right, and it's the same process that we already used. We did the RFQ and the RFP.
I didn't want to interrupt your opening statement. When you read for us the definition of a design building contract, how does that differ from a traditional construction contract?
In a traditional construction contract, you usually just have the construction. In a design build, you have design and the construction being done by the one entity.
So what does that mean in practice?
In practice, well, there's two procurements then. If it's under traditional, you do a contract or a procurement for the designer to design the project, and then you do a separate procurement for the entity to do the construction. Design build, it's combined.
And Chief?
You mean the construction, the general construction contractor does the design process as well as the building?
Not under conventional construction contract. Under conventional one, they're
the
given...
The design build contract is...
The design build, yes. They would do both or some part of both. In this case, the county or the BCIA had some preliminary design work done. That design work would be given to the selected redeveloper who would do value engineering and other things to come up with a price and a proposal to do the construction work.
So that sounds like the traditional model.
Design build?
You've got, no, what you just described sounds more like, and maybe I misunderstood, more like the traditional model where the contractor is looking at a design and figuring out
the
cost.
The design build, well, what was done here, the design build, the contractor would be doing not just construction. They would also be doing elements of the design for the project.
So that's a pretty big loophole around public bidding under the current law. Would you?
But we don't see it as a loophole because, again, it's limited. Not all public entities can utilize these powers. It's only in the context of a redevelopment project that has to go through a lengthy process to get there and public input before it becomes an approved public project.
So construction companies, by and large, don't have a full architectural design staff on board. That's a separate entity. How does this work in the real world? Does the construction contractor bring on architects and engineers and designers to work under them? And that's what makes it a design build contract? Do you understand my question?
They bring a team. What is sought in a design build is a team, a development team. And you will have usually an architect, an engineer. You may have someone to deal with environmental, LED-type issues. So it's an entire team that gets qualified.
I'm sorry, are these multiple separate professionals who each submit their own invoices?
No. It comes in one package from the entity who is responding. They put together the team who will do the construction, who will do the architecture, if that's involved, engineering work, green, energy efficiency. That's a team.
The redeveloper brings all these people together? Is that what you're saying?
As part of their proposal that they are submitting, yes.
Right. So it is the redeveloper applicant.
And we call them respondent, yes.
Okay.
Who the respondent is.
So that would, in effect, then apply to every redevelopment project.
Yes. Well, redevelopment project that is designated under the redevelopment law you're referring to.
Yes.
Yes.
Other questions, anyone? Thank you, Ms. Lennon. It,